I think there's a lesson in this parsha which really can be taken and applied in a much broader sense. You know, as Rabbi Yishal mentioned, I came originally to this community, oh, I guess it's over 40 years ago. And it really was, especially the Valley community, was very little there in terms of Yadut, in terms of religious Jewish life, so to speak. But it's very interesting that our history has always been that way. The Marsha explains that the brocha that we make on the Kiddush Lavona every month on the renewal of the moon is very symbolic of the history and the life cycle of the Klal Yisrael. It says that Klal Yisrael started out at Har Sinai. Well, we started before, but Har Sinai was the climax. We were in full moon. We had the ultimate covered. The world looked up to us. The world knew Misina Yotzo Sino Le'olam. They hated us because we had the Torah directly from the Beri Olam, and everybody else had to make up. They had a private revelation. They had a story. Something happened. I had a dream. I had a this. And here millions of eyewitnesses stood by Har Sinai and heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifying himself. You know all those miracles you saw in Mitzrayim? You know that upheaval of all the laws of nature? You know how you actually almost literally witness creation itself? That's me. And now I'm going to tell you why I created the world, why I took you out of Mitzrayim, what your purpose in life is, how you can have the good life, how you can accomplish, how you can be happy, how you can be successful, how you can be rewarded. The world is jealous. But our history has always been that from that glorious moment, things sometimes go down. Came Teretz Yisrael, but then after the building of the Beis HaMikdosh, there was a decline. Eventually there was an exile. There was a return, and there was a decline again. And then the Golos. And throughout our history, we always almost come to a point where it looks like we're not going to remain anymore. The moon slivers away from the full moon, smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And just at that moment, when you look in the sky and you can't see the moon anymore, well, tune in again tomorrow and guess what? The moon has renewed itself. We again begin to see that first sliver. That's the history of Klal Yisrael. Never write us off. We will never cease to exist. And as we come to a low point, maybe the lowest of the low, where you could barely imagine or remember that there once was this bright shining moon, the next day, shortly afterwards, we're rejuvenating again and building and building and building and growing and becoming that full shining moon again. And that's really what has happened in communities throughout the world. The Valley 40 years ago, and even the city, with all due respect, very little there. In fact, you know what they used to say? And please, no one should be offended. They say it in good spirit. They used to say that in the 30s and 40s, the people that found that New York was too religious a place, and believe you me, it wasn't, they came to Los Angeles. And those that found Los Angeles to be too frum, and that certainly wasn't the case, they moved to the Valley. So it was like the end of the world. This was the place where they ran away from Judaism as much as they could, as far as they could. I guess the next step was the Pacific Ocean. And look at it today. Look what happens. The full moon is shining again. This is, in truth, is what our history is about. When I come to Los Angeles, and I've been away for over 30 years, And I come back frequently, and I see the progress. And the last time that I was just here, I remember the building that you had. Now I see this beautiful building, and I see Kenai Nohara, so many Talmidim, and see so many people paying attention. That, by the way, is very unique, you know. And it's amazing to see the growth, to see what once was called a Midbar Shmoma, a desolate desert, is today a Ir Ve'em B'Yisrael, both in the city and the valley. And this is truly the story of our history. And Rabbi Yankov Emden, in the Hakdomah to his Siddur, swears by his life. He says, Chai Nafshi, says, the miracles that have surrounded the survival of Klal Yisrael under the most adverse conditions, and the Torah to remain by Klal Yisrael, a greater composite taken together than all the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that you're here today, that we're here today, that the Torah is being studied today, that the Torah is being observed today, that Klal Yisrael is alive and well and flourishing and has achieved in so many communities establishment status. This is the status. This is in vogue. Anything short of the way of Torah and mitzvahs by the Jewish people seems to be just deteriorating and fading away. It doesn't make sense logically. It's a havtocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to Klal Yisrael that the Klal Yisrael will never cease to exist and the Torah will be loisi shochach mi pizaroi, will never, never, never be forgotten from amongst the midst of Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Yankov Emden says that the miracles that have made this happen are far greater than the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. So we're all today participating in a miracle, in an ongoing miracle that's been going on for thousands of years. And I think you people should be very proud of your participation in this miracle. But I'd like to share with you a thought from the parsha, which maybe will give us a deeper perspective of how we can deal with what we see and what we know. In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, we find the four lishonos of Geula. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vayitzesi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, ve'goalti eschem me'avodosom, ve'hitzalti eschem me'avodosom, ve'goalti eschem bezroah mituyo, v'shvotim gedoilim, ve'lokachti eschem li la'om, v'yisei lachem le'elokim. Vayitzesi, take you out, v'hitzalti, and I will save you, v'goalti, I'll redeem you, ve'lokachti, and I will take you." All different lishonos of how Hashem is taking us out of Mitzrayim. The Sforno says that these four languages of Geula represent a different stage of the Geula. V'hoitzesi was the Hafsokas Hashibun. On Rosh Hashanah time, they stopped working. They were still slaves, they were still in Mitzrayim, but they stopped working. The Hitzalti represents that they actually left Mitzrayim, because that's considered that they were saved. The Goalti, the Geula, the redemption, was only on the Yamsuf when they saw their enemies drowning, their oppressors, their masters drowning. So then they truly felt Geula, redeemed. Vilokachti, he says, refers to he took us to Har Sinai to give us the Torah, which was the culmination of the Geula and the culmination of our freedom. She'elecho ben chayrin elamisha oisik bat Torah. Only a person who is oisik in Torah can be free, because everyone else is a slave to his emotions and his desires. But the Torah teaches us and gives us the ability to overcome, overpower those desires, and to allow our minds, thank you so much, to do what's right. But I find it very interesting, Chazal say that the Dalit Koisos that we have on Pesach, the Seder, were instituted neged the Dalit L'Shoinah Shel Geula. Itzesi, Itzalti, Igualti, Ilokachti. Four Koisos we have. Now, some people would just say, well, four Koisos, four L'Shoinahs, four sons, four this, four that, you know, just like this. That's not the way Chazal worked. There was a very deep message in the Dalit Koisos. The message of the Dalit Koisos is that for each stage of the Geula, we raise the kois shel brocha and focus our appreciation on Hashem and our recognition of the miracles involved and our ability to appreciate it, focusing on a small piece of it. V'hitzesi, v'hitzalti, the stopping the shibut, the stopping the work, the going out, the seeing our oppressors drowning and coming to Har Sinai. If we don't break down occurrences, chesed, miracles, into their component parts, if we look at them all together, we can't appreciate them. We have to take a look at each individual miracle, at each individual act of chesed from Hashem, and see it in perspective, and take the kois shel brocha and raise it and thank Hashem for that. Focus our appreciation on that, not on the broader level. You know, I hate to quote this author, and I don't think I'm going to mention him by name, but when someone asked one of the architects of the final solution that was represented the Nazi effort during the war, World War II, so they asked him, how are you going to get away with murdering millions of Jews? So he said something, this animal of a human being, said something which really was very, very significant. He said, 300 Jews is a tragedy. 6 million is a statistic. It's too big. It's too broad. I couldn't count to 6 million. I would know what to do with $6 million, that yes. But I couldn't, 6 million, it's too much. 300. You have to break it down into small component parts to be able to really see, to feel, to appreciate what's going on. And as I travel, happens to be this Shabbos, seeing a lot of the Moistis HaChinuch in town and the Mechanchim in town, and I look at them individually, and I look around the room, and I see such a beautiful scene. You know, oh, there's thousands of learning in yeshiva. There's so many Moistis. It's too big a number. It's not even millions. But look around the room. Look how beautiful it is. Look what it means that here we are, 3,330 years from Maimon Har Sinai, close to 2,000 years into Golus, having been exiled, all of us, in some of the strangest places in the world, and having suffered persecution and attempts to eradicate us and our Torah and our way of life. And all of these enemies, they're all in the museums. They're all maybe in the history books. And look what's going on. We're alive and well and studying that same Torah and putting on those same tefillin and observing those same mitzvahs that have been done since even before Har Sinai by the Ovis, but given to us 3,330 years ago at Har Sinai. And when you break it down and you look, it's truly amazing. So I think in life in general, we have to learn to pay attention to the smaller details. I'd like to share with you one little story, which the reason for it is today happens to be the yahrzeit of an individual. He was in his latter years, and actually days before he passed away, he was privileged to make a commitment which was honored by his estate to one of the Moistis in the valley, a very, very significant financial commitment. Mamish, as he was just about to leave this world, and today's his yahrzeit, his name is Reb Gershon, Reb Meir Baer. And I want to tell you a little story from his background, just to get this sense of focusing and how a person can and should focus on what some might otherwise call the good luck, the coincidences, the natural things that occur, the accidents, the interesting phenomenon that happen in life, which are really all orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But once again, unless we pay attention to the details, we cannot have an appreciation, we cannot be thankful, we cannot really feel what has taken place. So he told me the following story. He was a young teenager, maybe he was around 18, 17, 18 years old, when the Bolshevik Revolution began. That was in Russia around 1917. And their goal was, eventually, I guess they did, to topple the Tsars. The Tsars were like the kings, you know, of Russia, and to take over and put in their form of government. And his father, it seems, was a very well-connected person with the Tsar, and therefore he was not on their favorite list of, you know, of friends of the revolution. And one day he walks into his house, and he sees his mother up against the wall with these few thugs with bayonets. A bayonet is that rifle which has a knife at the end. And the knife is mamish in her throat. They're ready to... And he gets all excited, and he gets involved, and he starts fighting with them and distracted them, but they overpowered him. They took him captive, and they decided that he's a person who committed treason against the government, because they looked at themselves as the legitimate government, even though it certainly wasn't so at the time, but whatever. So they had a tribunal, they had a trial, and they decided that he deserves the death penalty. And tomorrow morning, someone is going to shoot him to death. The morning comes, and they sending him out to the yard, and one of the young revolutionaries volunteers to do the honors. Walks out, and has his gun right there, and he says, "Remember me? Do you recognize me?" And he says, "No, who are you?" He says, "We were in high school together a few years ago, and I was very poor, and I had to take a haircut and get a shirt or something. I didn't have money. You gave me those few, whatever they were, the currency." He says, "I want to pay you back. Run for your life. Run for your life." Of all the people in the world that would be there to be the one to have the privilege of shooting this person to death, was the one person in the world who felt that he owed him something and he wanted to pay him back. And therefore, he let him go, and he saved his life. It's an interesting story how he continued. And he saw this. He saw Hashem. He saw the Yad Hashem. He said, "From that time on in my life, I knew Hashem is with me. I saw it. I could touch it. I could feel it if I pay attention to it." And he took the attention one step further. He said then he had to get out of Russia because they were going to get him after this event. So he decided there's a train going to the border, and he's going to get on. He doesn't have any money, he had nothing. They emptied out his pockets, had nothing. So he goes on, he gets the conductor, he says, "You know, all my life I wanted to shovel coal. Maybe you'll let me shovel coal, and I won't ask for any money. I'll just shovel coal." Okay, so they agreed, shoveling coal till the border. Gets to the border, and the first thing he realizes is that he looks like a piece of coal, like he's black completely, from head to toe, face, hands, everything. So first thing, I have to wash up. He didn't know what he was going to do. He was at the border. Now what? The border was all protected and guarded and fenced in with border guards. But he said he has to wash up. So he goes over to one of the border guards, and he asks him, says, "Is there a bathroom over here that I could wash up?" The guy sees, you know, he looks like that. Okay, go to the bathroom. He notices in the bathroom that there's a window. And he realized that the window was opening out to the other side of the border. If he's out that window, he's a free man. He snuck out the window, and I met him in his 80s in Los Angeles many, many years later. So, and here's a man, because of these events of his youth, he focused, he paid attention. He saw Hashem's Hashkocha Protis, and that made all the difference in his life. And I'd like to leave you with one more story, which I think also is a matter of focus. I was out here many years ago delivering a seminar for non-religious people and speaking about tefillah and bitochon, and a young man there was very enamored by the whole discussion. 6 months later, I came out for some follow-up talk, and he comes over to me, "I gotta tell you this story, it's just unbelievable." So he tells me as follows. He came back from the seminar, very uplifted. And his mother, she was a single parent, and she had to marry off his sister that Thursday evening. This was like a Sunday night he came back. And she was short $15,000 for the wedding. He didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. And he told her, Ma, don't worry. There's a God in the world. He takes care of us. If we pray to him, he helps us. If we trust him, we got it made. Shouldn't worry about anything. And he tried to give her some inspiration that he had gotten at this seminar. He says she had a costume jewelry business. I mean, she sold cheap jewelry, you know, $15, $20 pieces. And then the next day, somebody comes back and takes a necklace that she bought. She says, give me my money back. I brought it back to you 5 times to fix the clasp. Each time it breaks again, I'm not interested. I want my money. I'm finished. Take it. Okay, takes it back. She's very curious why it keeps on breaking. It doesn't make sense. 5 times that the clasp breaks. She goes to her jeweler who fixes these things. And she says, why? What's going on over here? Why does it break? Takes out his eyepiece and he looks and he says, I'll give you $15,000 for this necklace. It wasn't costume jewelry. It was the real thing. She had her $15,000 and she made her wedding. And this kid says to me, had I not been alerted to the fact that Hashem does this, and had I not alerted my mother to focus and to see and to realize that Hashem does this, who knows if it even would have happened? And if it would have happened, it could have passed us by and we wouldn't have even realized that this is a special gift from Hashem. Hashem is with us. Hashem has assured our survival throughout the millennia. Hashem has allowed this community and this city to rebuild itself in a way that's just l'shem ul tiferes. Hashem should help that you and the yeshiva should continue to be matzliach, continue to grow, and eventually to be able to continue learning and spreading Torah and assuring that the next generation will be privileged, as you are, to be able to continue that glorious Mesorah from Har Sinai to this day. Have a good Shabbos.